Have you had a good time? I really mean that. Listen, we ought to get together and have good times. Listen, if you don't learn to have good time with Jesus, heaven's going to be hell for you. Think about it. In His presence forever. We've got to start loving Jesus. We fellowship with Him. And let me tell you something. You don't have to die to see Jesus. Look out now. Anything found in the Bible can be for you. Paul saw Him. That's New Testament Christianity. I'm telling you guys. Here's a great verse about the secrets of the Lord. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our descendants from now on." Anything and everything He's revealed in this book belongs to us. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our descendants from now on. While we're talking about descendants, that's your children, here's a great verse about your descendants. You ready? Isaiah 44:3-4. Isaiah 44:3-4, God speaking. He said, "I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants, and they will spring up like willows by a riverbank." See, parents, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're desperate for God, your children will flourish. Wow. You understand something, don't you? You understand we're forging the future our grandchildren will live in right now. We have got to really start understanding that what we do will affect our children. Here's your great verse about your children. You want it? I would take it if I was you. It's Psalms 112:2. Psalms 112:2. Here's what it says. "The offspring of the upright will be mighty in the earth." The offspring of the upright, that's your children, will be mighty in the earth. So I looked up the Hebrew word mighty. It means they will advance swiftly and take charge. Wow. Don't you want your children really, really to go higher than you've gone? Well, sure you do. Train up a child in the way that they go. When they're old, they will not what? Depart from it. God has some great promises concerning your children. I wrote a whole book about it called Legacy and Lineage Line. Legacy is what you leave behind. Lineage line is who you leave behind, and they're inseparable. How you live your life will affect your children from now on. Bible says, parents eat bitter fruit, children's teeth get set on edge. Wow, how you live will affect your children. Well, thanks for letting us set up the books. I bring books because they're tools, they'll help you. They really will. And they're experiences. Here's one called the Belt of Truth. Remember in Ephesians 6, it says, put all this on, but you put it together, put around you waist, the belt of truth. Now, we have got to start standing for truth. The last time I was here last year, I told you the greatest battle the church will ever fight is Proverbs 23:23. Proverbs 23:23 says, pay the price for truth and don't sell it for anything. Pay the price for truth. You say, well, what do you mean pay the price for truth? You start living the truth of the Word of God, persecution will come. I suspect if we were more like elder brother, persecution will pick up. Don't you think? I think so. More like Jesus. Look at you. I don't know where we get this. We think if we get spirit-filled, RT, we get spirit-filled, full of Jesus, they're going to give us the key to the city. I read the Bible, and the Bible said the servant is no greater than his master. Did you read what they did to Jesus? They spit in his face, jerked his beard out, and tacked him to a tree. Wow. I think they tolerate us because we're so distant from our elder brother. You get more like Jesus in this hostile world, persecution will pick up. You believe it? Well, I'm telling you. We got to have real faith, not fantasy faith. Faith that is not tested is just theory. It's impossible to please God without what? How do you get more faith? Faith comes by and hearing by the Word of God. I think what we've got to do, maybe, is we've got to become doers of the word and not mere hearers. Isn't it James 1:22? James 1:22 says, become a doer of the word, not just simply hear it. If you just hear it and don't do it, don't activate it, you'll become deceived. So here's one called the belt of truth. All right. I like this. We got one about the season of truth. We got one about the belt of truth. We got one about, here's one called the sword of the Lord and the Lord of the sword. Look out now. This, let me tell you about the sword of the Lord. You want to hear a little story about it? Whew, I don't know if I can really tell it, but I'll do the best I can to tell you the story. I got into an encounter with the Lord Jesus, and he had the sharpest sword you could imagine. I mean razor sharp. And he said, kneel. So I thought, oh, that'll be good. Like going to be knighted. So all of a sudden he swung the sword above my head. And he said, the only way the prophets will keep their head is to stay humble. And so then he said, rise. He said, rise. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. With a sword in his hand, he swung it real hard. It made a whoosh, whoosh sound above my head. Then he said, stand. And then, oh, this is where it gets good. He turned the sword, razor sharp, flat against his lips. And he said, rise and kiss the sword. Oh, I thought, oh, this would be wonderful. So I rose up, and I'm standing right here in front of Jesus, and I'm pushing my lips to kiss the sword. It's like this. I get really close, and he turns it like that. I suddenly stopped, and he said, no, push on. And I pushed my lips into the edge of this razor-sharp sword. I could feel it piercing in, but I want to be honest with you, no pain at all. It was absolutely euphoric, the feeling I had, but I could feel this hot liquid pouring out of my lips and down my chin, down my chest, falling on the floor, splashing up against my legs. But the Lord said, no, just keep pushing till your lips meet mine. And I pushed through. It was absolutely breathtaking. And anyway, but the further I pushed, the more this poured from me. And I could feel how warm it was. And I thought, I must be horribly cut. And I looked down like this. It wasn't blood at all. It was glory. And the Lord said, the prophets will never pour forth my glory till they're willing to touch my lips. And we've got to have the sword of the Lord and the Lord of the sword. And so, whew. Well, anyway, you want some encounters with God? We need them. We've got to have them. They'll do one encounter with God can do more for you in a second than all the seminaries in the whole wide world can do for you in his presence. And here's one called the pursuit of his presence. Here, take this thing. You'll like that. Now, the Lord told me to sign books. Jesus Christ came to me and said, he said to me, I want you to sign books. I said, I don't sign books. He said to me, you do now. Let me tell you about the first book I ever signed. I told my wife. I said, we're going to have a book signing. She said, I didn't know we signed books. I said, we do now. Honest to God truth. So I'm out having a book signing. First book I ever signed, I knew my name, so I signed it. And the lady standing in front of me, I said, what is your name? She said, my name is Donna. I said, is that D-O-N-N-A? And she said, that's correct. So I've got my pen, I'm writing D-O-N-N-A. And when the pen made the last stroke of an A, a Bible passage drifted across my spirit. I thought, I'll write it down. So I wrote down that passage. And when I wrote it down, she's watching me write it. She falls in the floor. At the book table, she starts screaming and hyperventilating, going, I won't do it as loud as she was. That's it. That's the verse my mother used to train me. She just had a spasm in the most wonderful way. And so I thought, boy, that was something. And we're at one book table in Ohio, and a man was there, and he had bought a book. So I'm signing his book, and he had a big old bandage around his hand. Funny looking bandage, really thick, and it separated like this. So I said to him, I'm sitting down, he's standing up. I said to him, well, what happened? But he must have thought I asked him what he did, because he said, well, I'm a carpenter, but apparently not a very good one. I cut my finger off with a saw. And I'm sitting down at the book table, and I was joking, actually. I looked up at him, I said, you know, God's got original parts, and God grew him a finger at the book table. Grew him a finger at the book table. I'm telling you, his wife was standing there, and here's what she said. His wife, after he jerked, he started screaming, my hand. And so she jerked the bandage off, and you could see where the nub had been, and you can see a brand new finger there. And so here's what his wife said. She said, I'm not one of these wild-eyed charismatics. I don't even believe in half of this stuff, but I am an emergency room nurse. I was standing there when the doctors took the skin and turned it around like this and sewed it there. She's the one who put the bandage on. And then God grew this guy a finger at the book table. Here's another one at the book table. You want to hear it? 40 years stone deaf. 40 years stone deaf, and God healed this man just like that at the book table. Here's one at the book table. I was in Aberdeen, South Dakota. You can't get there from here, hardly. Aberdeen, South Dakota. And there was an old man there, real 90 years old. Old man, 90 years old. And here's what had happened to him. He was a German farmer, Mr. Hazelhorse. And 91, and his daughter brought him to me at the book table. His leg had swiveled up and turned out like this. And what had happened, he was an old farmer, and he wanted to get up in the combine. And his family said, no, you're too old to get up in the combine. You can't tell a 90-year-old farmer what to do. So he got up in the combine and was coming down out of the combine, missed the last step and fell and messed up his back. So she brings him to my book table. So I get up and I said to him, he's a gentleman, little guy. And I said, sir, can I pray for you? And he looked at me with the most piercing eyes. He said, I'm a Lutheran. That's what he said. I'm a Lutheran. I said, that won't hurt. And I put my hand on Mr. Hazelhorse's back. There were two big old knots in there right at the very back of his spine that felt like golf balls. And God instantly healed this guy in a blinding second, just like that. The next night we come to the church, and Mr. Hazelhorse has half of the church filled with his offspring, with his descendants. Isn't that something? Oh, boy. He's a greeter at the church now, 93 years old now, and a greeter at the door of the church. Isn't that something? And he was a Lutheran. Listen. But anyway, we've had some great experiences at the book table. What I'm getting at, if you get a book, I'll sign it tonight if you'd like. And we'll just get a verse and see what will happen. There's a lot of verses in the Bible, aren't they? Whew! And every one of them are for us. Hey, I like to find verses nobody ever preaches out of. Here's one. I bet RT's never preached out of this. You've poured me out like milk, but you've curdled me like cheese. Now, I don't care who's been here. There's not a series on that, you know. You poured me out like milk, and you've curdled me like cheese. That's a verse in the Bible. What the heck does it mean? It means you started out a liquid and ended up a solid. You studied biology, didn't you? How we got here, egg and sperm. That's what that verse is. You poured me out like milk, but you curdled me like cheese. Started out a liquid, you ended up a solid. Wow. You say, where is that verse in the Bible? Job 10:10. Job 10:10. Here's another 10-10er that's pretty good. Ecclesiastes 10:10. I'll break it down in Texas terms. If your axe is dull, you have to swing harder. That's Ecclesiastes 10:10. If you're not sharp, you have to put out more effort. If your axe is dull, don't you think we need to sharpen? That's why you come to retreat like this, to get your gifts sharpened. Talking about get your gifts sharpened, we're going to have an impartation in this service. You believe in impartation, don't you? I told you last night what kind of impartation you'll get in our meetings. It was out of Hebrews what? 10. 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Hebrews 10, 35 was in my head. Hebrews 10, 35 says, don't fling away your confidence, your steadfast hope in God. Because your steadfast hope in God brings with it a great recompense or reward. If the devil's doing anything in all the churches I'm in, he's trying to steal people's hope. Hope deferred does what? Makes the heart sick. But when you get what you've hoped for, it's a wellspring of life. I want you to hang on to hope. Okay? Psalms 30 verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy will come in the morning. One day can change everything. I promise you, one day can change everything. So anyway, hold on to hope. But here's the impartation I told you you'd get. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead. the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd sheep by the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, give you everything you need to accomplish the task you've been sent to do. Now, you believe in impartation, don't you? Is there any verse that you've got that talks about impartation? Here's one. Romans 1:11. Romans 1:11, Paul says, I yearn to be with you that I might impart to you a charisma gift, an unction function. So, and he says in verse 12, it'll be good for us both. I like that, don't you? He said, I yearn. We don't even have an English word for that. We don't have an English word for that word yearn. It's a Greek word that says, this thing is on me in such a dimension, it's twisted me inside out. I yearn to be with you that I might impart to you a spiritual enablement that'll equip you for the task you've been assigned to do. That's Romans 1:11. Then Romans 1:12 says, it'll be mutually beneficial for both of us. I like that, don't you? So how are you going to get this? The Bible talks about several ways to get. One is get hands laid on you. One is through a prayer of impartation. Wow. I don't hardly care how it comes, just so it comes. Don't you? You say, why do I need impartation? You can't do a thing without the anointing. Study your New Testament. Not one single miracle is recorded that Jesus did until he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. Nearest thing was when he's 12, teaching and astounding people with what he knew. Acts 10:38 teaches us he did get anointed. It says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? Holy Ghost and with power. You'll never separate those two. Holy Ghost and power. Every time you find Holy Ghost in the New Testament, look real close, you'll find power. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? When? After? I tell you what, we need a new appreciation for Holy Ghost. Some people think he's something between the parakeet and the pigeon. Ooh, ooh. I'll tell you who he is. Holy Ghost is the only God agent at work on this planet today. God the Father is where? Heaven. God the Son is where? Seated at his right hand. Guess who's down here? God the Holy Spirit. That's what, remember, the Lord said, Peter said to Ananias, why have you lied unto the Holy Ghost? Not, you have not lied unto men, but unto God. Wow. So the Holy Ghost is God, isn't he? Yes. He's powerful too. Hey, I preached all over the world. I found out some things. I found out, number one, there's some pastors afraid of the Holy Ghost. I thought, why in the world would pastors be afraid of the Holy Ghost? And then I began to pursue an answer for that. I found out what it is. Pastors are afraid of the Holy Ghost, many of them. You know why? They can't control him. Can't control him. I'll guarantee you they can't. They can vex him, quench him, grieve him, but they can't control him. Jesus said he's like the wind. You saw the evidence of it. You heard it. You saw it, but you don't know where it came from. You're not quite sure where it went. Say, Holy Ghost. You be sure of this. Hey, let me read to you. Can I read to you what Jesus said about Holy Ghost? Well, sure. This will be nice. I'm going in my Bible here. And people ask me, they say, what? And I don't want to sound egotistic, but anyway. They say, what translation do you use, brother? And I say it with all honesty, all of them. I study the Bible in every English translation I could find. And then when I preach, I amalgamate them together. If I'm reading out of a Bible publicly to you, I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic Version of the Bible. I suggest you do the same thing. Don't get the one they made in 2015. It's pretty lame. But this one, I like the Amplified. Now, listen to what Jesus Christ says in John chapter 16, verse 13. He's talking about Holy Spirit. Now, if you want to listen to anybody teach about Holy Ghost, it ought to be you want to listen to Jesus. He's teaching us, inspiring us, and informing us about the Holy Ghost. You ready? I'm starting with verse 13. Jesus talking. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The whole truth, the full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but He will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. And he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Verse 14, he will honor and glorify me because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal it, declare it, disclose it, and transmit it to you. You can't get enlightened without the Holy Ghost. Jesus said he will take what's mine and he'll do what? He shall honor and glorify me because he will take, receive, draw upon what is mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. John 15:5 says, without Jesus, we can't do anything. Philippians 4:13 says, with him, we can do everything. Wow. I want the Holy Ghost, don't you? I like things, don't you? Here's a verse of the Bible that's pretty weird. Look at verse 24. Up until now, you've not asked. Ask. I'm screaming. John 16:24. Jesus talking. Up until now, you've not asked. Ask now, and you'll receive what you're asking so that your heart might overflow with joy. What? Up until now, you've not asked. Ask now. Now, you've got to figure this out. Timing is everything. Up until now, John 16:24, up until now you've not asked. Ask now. Why now? I suggest 2 Corinthians 6:2. It is an acceptable time, a time that he will hear you and help you. It's a time of an assured welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 2. Y'all ready? Okay, I'm the one that's, here we go, I'm getting there. 2 Corinthians 6:2. I quoted the first verse out of that last night, laboring together with God. I'll read that one that I quoted to you last night too. Laboring together as God's fellow helpers, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him then, we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain, that merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls, turning them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them, do not receive this type of grace for no purpose. Now this is why now's the time to pray. Look at verse 2. You want to read it for us? Oh, do you want to read it for us? Here, read it out of this one. It'll be a lot better than yours.
As in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to and heeded your call, and I have helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is truly the time for a gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Amen. You did good. Do you see now's the time? For he says... Now, anytime you find in the New Testament, for he says, it means somebody's quoting something that's already previously been said. What Paul is quoting here is Isaiah 59, verse 8. But look at this. For he says, in the time of favor, of an assured welcome, I have listened to you, I've heeded your call, and I've helped you on the day of deliverance, the day of salvation. Behold, now is truly the time for gracious welcome and acceptance of you from God. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Jesus appeared to me once with a sad countenance. And here's what he said. Bobby, my people don't like to talk to me. Least attended service in any church is prayer meeting. Jesus said, my people don't like to talk to me. Then he looked me straight in the face and said, I'm going to give you a phrase that'll change their whole paradigm about prayer. It'll turn prayer from a drudgery to a delight. From a duty to a desire. I said, I want a phrase that'll change people's attitude and action concerning prayer. He said, you tell people what real prayer is. Guess what Jesus said real prayer is? He said, real prayer is an audience with the King. Who can afford to turn that down? Audience with the King. See, I'm telling you guys, that is an amazing offer. We can come to God anytime, any place, anywhere, and have open access to his presence. Zechariah 3:7 says, you tend to the things I give you to tend to. I will give you open access to my presence. Wow. The queen won't. Donald Trump won't. I don't know y'all's president's name, but whatever. Whoever it is, you can't just pick up the phone and say hello. You know why? Not enough clout. But any of us can get on our face right before God, and Almighty God is ready to hear us. Audience with the King. Wow. That's an amazing offer, isn't it? Anytime, day or night. Wow. I don't know why we use him as a last resort instead of the first resource. Well, anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about all things. You want to? I usually talk about all things, don't I? I do have a eclectic type of preaching. Anyway, here's one. The Lord said, I'm raising a kingdom company. Here's what he said. This is one of the teachings. He says, I'm going to raise a kingdom company that'll rule the visible realm from the invisible realm, but they will do it through a demeanor of love. The preeminent thing is love. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you can quote a bunch of verses. Now, I can teach a parrot to quote a verse. That's not a sign that you're really, really. By this shall all men know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Love is a preeminent thing. And he says, I'm raising me a kingdom company that'll rule the visible realm from the invisible realm, but they'll do it through a demeanor of love. Wow. We got to love him first before we can love others. Is that correct? All right. So, will you read this if I give it to you? Are you sure she'll read it? Well, here's the belt of truth. Others, I'll just talk about what I'm going to talk about. Let's talk about all things just for a moment. You want to? There's some things in here. There's some verses in here that are hard to really believe. Here's one. These works that I do and greater works than these you shall do. That's Jesus Christ. You know what he told me once? He said, tell the people. Now, this won't work here in China, but it works in America. He said, tell the people I'm not a politician seeking to be elected. I say what I mean and mean what I say. See, politicians, they spew out rhetoric. Jesus don't spew out rhetoric. He says what he means and means what he says. And he just said, these works that I do and greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Wow. Empowerment to do supernatural things. Now, I'm going to answer your question in a little bit. I have the wildest schedule you can imagine. I'm telling you, really, it's crazy. I usually go a couple of places a week. This month, I went 9 places in 1 week by airplane, a different conference every night. It's crazy the schedule I keep. Medical doctors will come and say, how in the world? I can run any of you young bucks down. Your tongue will be hanging out. You'll go, oh, good. I carry them around anyway. So here's what happened. I'm going to show you my secret on how I keep up my schedule. You want to see it? You got a Bible? I got one. Here we go. I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 1. You ready? See, watch this. This is how you can keep up your schedule. You ready? Colossians chapter 1, starting with verse 28. Him, Jesus Christ, we preach and proclaim, warning and admonishing everyone and instructing everyone in all wisdom, comprehensive insights into the ways and the purposes of God, that we might present every person mature, full grown, fully initiated, complete and perfect in Christ's anointed one. Verse 29, here's my secret. For this I labor under weariness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. I operate through superhuman energy. Only place in the Bible you'll find that word right there. Superhuman energy. Wow. It's right there. You see it? At the superhuman energy. Mm-hmm. That's how we operate. He says, just wear war. He says, for this I labor under weariness. But I do it through supernatural energy. The key should be then, how do we keep that supernatural energy flowing? Wouldn't that be a good thing? You want to see another secret? Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. The Lord came to me and said, Bobby, I've got a wonderful promise. I said, I want it. I want to hear it. He said, tell my people, that would be you, tell my people I'm preparing to answer the prayer Paul prayed in Colossians chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. I said, okay. I'm to tell the people of God you're preparing to answer the prayer Paul prayed in Colossians 1, verses 8 through 15. I said, okay, I'm going to do that. He said, now, here's the ones that are classified that are going to get this prayer. He said, anyone and everyone that's zealously in love with the Holy Spirit. Anyone and everyone that's zealously in love with the Holy Spirit, God is going to answer the prayer Paul prayed for us in Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at that prayer. You want to? Sure, Bobby. Here we go. Verse 8 says, he, this friend, giving Paul some information concerning the church at Colossae, and he informed us of your love in the Holy Spirit. Now that is a little weak, verse 8. He informed us of your love in the Holy Spirit. The word love there means he informed us of your burning, zealous, passionate love for the Holy Spirit. We got to get a burning, zealous, passionate love for the Holy Spirit. For he also informed us of your burning love and zeal for the Holy Spirit. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, your burning, passionate love for the Holy Spirit, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking. Now listen, see if any of you want what he's been praying for here. Okay, asking that you might be filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insights into the ways and the purposes of God and in understanding and discerning of spiritual things. How many of you want that? If you can get that, that'll be the best retreat you ever came to in your whole life. Let's look at that again. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking that you might be filled with the full, deep, clear knowledge of God's will in all spiritual, comprehensive, in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insights into the ways and the purposes of God in understanding and discerning spiritual things. Verse 10, that you might walk, live, and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully, say fully, fully pleasing to Him and desiring to please Him in all things. Bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in it by the knowledge of God with fuller, deeper, clearer insights and acquaintances and recognition. Wow! Now, here's how you maintain that superhuman energy. Next verse. You ready? Here it is. Here it is. I'll read it to you. Verse 11. We pray that you may be invigorated. Wow! Invigorated. Strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share in the portion which is the inheritance of the saints of the holy people of light. But I want you to see that word, that you may be invigorated. Now, the word invigorated there is important. Most of the world you know anything about gets their stimulation from the outside. They sniff a line of cocaine. They shoot up some heroin. They suck in something. They drink. They're trying to get stimulated. But their stimulation comes from the outside in. This stimulation, invigorated, comes from the inside out. Do you see what we're talking about? Yeah, that's what we need. Invigorated inside. Have you ever got around the things of God? Wow. You get around the things of God, you can't maintain just tranquility. You know. Yeah. One of the ways I got a lot of my anointings is I'd find them in the Bible. I'd bug God till He gave them to me. I read where it says, and God spoke to Moses face to face as a friend communicates to a friend. So I said to God, God, you are no respecter of persons. If you did it to Moses, you do it to me. I was getting God to hammerlock. And then He said to me, are you willing to do what they did to get what they got? What did Moses do? Well, God came down on a mountain that was rolling and thundering and lightning and just pulsating like that and kind of cleared his throat. Didn't even make a declaration. And it says, I don't know how many million Jews took off running. All of them. Took off running, screaming, ah, Don't ever let him talk to us like that again. You go. Remember that? Are you willing to do what he did to get what he got? All the rest of him was fearful running. And he goes up on this mountain. Wow. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Look in those places. Now, I talked about secrets a moment ago. Now, it's going to stun us to find out God has secrets. Deuteronomy 29, I quoted that one. The secret things belong to the Lord. Here it is, Proverbs 25:2. Proverbs 25, verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the honor of kings to search it out." God will hide things from us for us. God will hold back knowledge till we reach the place where we're mature enough to receive it. What? Yes, I said it right. God will hold back, hide from us knowledge. Don't you believe God hides things? Here's your verse about it. Nehemiah 9:20 says, "God gave his good spirit to instruct them and withheld not his manna from their mouth." I love that verse. And God gave his good spirit to instruct them. The word instruct is a big old broad Hebrew word. It means like a mama teaching a child to toddle, or an army general teaching a general teaching an army to march. So the Holy Spirit can inspire us and instruct us in every segment of life. But the little part that captured my attention out of Nehemiah 9:20, he gave his good spirit to instruct them and withheld not his manna from their mouth. The little word manna triggered something. It triggered Revelations 2:17. Revelations 2:17 says, "To him that overcomes, I will grant to eat the hidden manna." Aren't you already intrigued? To him that overcomes, Revelations 2:17, "To him that overcomes, I will grant to eat the hidden manna." Now, then it says something. "And I will give him a white stone. And on that white stone, there's something engraved no other human being on earth knows except the person that received it." What's on the white stone? Your new name. See, God's even hidden your identity till you really, really eat the manna. "To him that overcomes, I will grant to eat the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And on the white stone, there's a name engraved that no other human being knows except the person that received it." Wow. Say identity. See, God knows who you are, and it's pretty amazing. So God hides things from us for us. But I've got news for you. You can ascertain and receive the things of God. Here's one of the anointings I want you to receive tonight. Matthew 13:16 and verse 17. It's a gorgeous verse. Jesus is talking. Matthew 13:16-17. He says, "Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Many long to see what you see. Many deeply desired to hear what you hear. But to them it was not permitted." Wow. Wow. Say it. I have blessed eyes. I have blessed ears. I can perceive and receive revelation. That's true. Do you know some of the revelation has been hidden till you got big enough in the spirit realm, old enough in the spirit realm to receive it? You want to see it? Go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. Say 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And watch this. This is pretty wild. Okay. I'm turning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'll start with verse 6. Here's what Paul says. He said, "I could not, would not." Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll start down here with verse 6. He says, "Yet when we are among the full-grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. The knowledge," watch this, "the knowledge of divine plan previously hidden, but it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or this world, nor of the leaders and the rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away." Verse 7, "But rather, what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God, once hidden from the human understanding and now revealed to us by God, that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us up into the glory of his presence." There's a secret. There's several secrets in that passage. Number one, we got to grow up in maturity. You see it? We've got to grow up. I don't know why we expect people to get saved and 15 years later they're still baby Christians. The church seems to be the only people that accept abnormal growth as natural. I mean, you had a little baby and 15 years later he's still sucking a pacifier. Something's wrong with that kid. We got to grow up. It says, do you see it says, when you got to get, it says, we've got to find these full, verse 5, so that we've got to present those that are full grown. Yet, when we are yet among the full grown, spiritually mature Christians who are ripe in understanding, we do impart a higher wisdom. Pretty neat, isn't it? What will that hidden higher wisdom do for us? Give us a bigger ministry. No, it'll catch us up into the presence of His glory. The next great move of God is going to be all about the presence. The move of God you've been in part of is this, His power. Let me tell you something, His presence supersedes His power. You get in His presence, He'll give you something much more authoritative than His power. He'll give you His authority. Authority bumps power. It does. This hidden wisdom will catch you up into the presence of His glory. Wow, don't you want it? All right, all things. Got a bunch of verses about all things. Anything. Here's what God told me to tell you. You ready? He said, tell the body of Christ, accept no imitation, expect no limitation. What's an imitation? Anybody got a Webster's Dictionary? Imitation, counterfeit, fraud, fake. Accept no imitation. Then you can expect no limitation. Could it be that it's been God resisting us till we get things right? I think so. God's been resisting us till we get things right. And then He said, if you'll accept no imitation, you can expect no limitation. The church has been at such a low web, they can't tell who's doing what, God or the devil. I can give you one acid test if you want to know, real quick. How are you going to discern who's doing what? Anytime, every time. Anytime, every time. Holy Spirit does a miracle, Jesus gets the glory. We just read about it. He shall glorify me. Watch this. When a cultic person does a phenomenon, it distracts from Jesus and calls attention to them. You see the difference? That ought to disqualify a whole bunch of people ministering. Calling attention to them instead of to Him. Holy Ghost will always call attention to Him. Wow. You say, well, man, I know some guys and gals got some tremendous anointing. You mean they're not from God? Judas had more anointing than anybody you know of. Jesus called him a devil. Wow. So you can't just judge what you see. What does it mean? It says Judas had part and lot in the ministry. Guess what that means? He could do anything and everything the other guys could do. Wow. But he didn't even know God. I picked one of you out and one of you is the devil. Wow. He was doing it through what? Satanic power. Wow. Judas is in hell while I'm talking. Just because something is supernatural certainly doesn't mean it's God. Wow. And I read that verse a while ago. It says, Jesus will tell you what, the Holy Ghost will tell you what the future holds. In America, one of the businesses that's, when chaos is happening, one of the businesses that's thriving is this 1-900 dial a demon. The psychics, the psychic hotline. You can't get the future from the psychic hotline. You can get a demon, but you can't get the future. If you want to know the future, I just read it to you. The Holy Ghost will declare to you and announce to you what's going to happen in the future. You read it right in the Bible. Who's going to tell you the future? No, not some soothsaying demon. The Holy Ghost will tell you what the future holds. I've just read it, John 16, 13, 14, 15. He shall declare and announce to you the things that will happen in the future. Yeah, isn't that cool? You want to know something about your future?
Yes, Bobby.
Here's something about your future. You ready? Jeremiah 31:17. Your future is filled with bright hope. You won't get that through the news. Jeremiah 31:17 says your future is filled with bright hope. Say bright hope. Yeah, I like that. God's plans for us are dynamic. Well, you know, I just wish I knew. I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. Have you ever read a verse in the Bible and you know it's real, but you know it's the people don't understand what it says? It says, brethren, you see your calling. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Brethren, that's us, you see your calling. I've been around Christians long enough to realize most of them don't see their calling. Huh? Well, what's your calling? Well, no, find out what God has called. God created something for you to do before he created you. Where's that in the Bible? Ephesians 2:10. I studied Ephesians 2:10 out of every English translation of the Bible I could find on earth. Ephesians 2:10. It says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we conduct ourselves in them. What does that say? It says, God created things for you to do before you were you. Ephesians 2:10. One translation says, you are the best God could do to display his God deeds. Yeah. One of them says, you're his stroke of genius to display his God deeds. So when the devil goes, who do you think you are? You go, I'm the best God could do. Yeah. Now, I like that, don't you? Pretty cool. He created things for you to do before you were his workmanship. And remember what it is. It's where Paul says, it's the word it means it's the final stroke of a master artist. We're his workmanship. Isn't that cool? So study the Bible. It'll show you who you are. So there's 7.6 billion people, give or take a few, on planet Earth right now. And not a single one can do what you can do. You're divinely unique in the purest sense of the word. There'll never be another you. You're absolutely, in this purest sense of the word, divine created. Divinely created. Not another human being like you. Don't you like that? I don't like where people just try to clone others after them. Just be you. One of the greatest deliverances that ever came in my life was when God showed me I don't have to be anybody but me, yielded to him. That is so liberating. Just be you. I gotta be me. Yeah, that's. You know, I never get asked to be on the praise team. Now, when I do sing, I sing like Louis Armstrong. Y'all ever heard of Louis Armstrong? Well, hello, darling. You're looking swell. You're still glowing. See, I mean, dead ringer for Louis. No wonder I don't get asked. But it's pretty neat. Let me tell you about the gifts of God. He wants to give them to you. We've got to learn the difference between a gift and a salary. Yeah, a lot of people are trying to work their way into getting something from God. That's not how it happens. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. You know, I'm writing a book about hyper grace. You beat me to it again. I was writing a book about wisdom. RT's got a book about wisdom. I was writing a book about fire. RT has a wonderful book on fire. So I thought, I'm going to write a book counteracting this hyper grace message. RT's got a book coming out on that. Well, is it already out, whatever happened to the gospel? Yes. Well, I didn't know. Sometimes you endorse them and they go, well, I've got it a little bit. But see, I'm keeping the next one secret till I get it out. No. I'll tell you what, you want to read some real cutting edge things that, read RT's books. I'm serious. I am serious. Just to be honest, it's amazing to find a theologian wildly in love with the Holy Spirit. Most of them are pharisaical. They're stuck in a rut. You know what a rut is. It's a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what a rut is, you know. Don't you like life? RT has life to his stuff. Yeah, anyway. I want to talk to you about your call. God has a unique call on you. How do I find it out, brother? Ask him. What would you have me do? I don't know where we get this. Something happened to me the other day that is really messed me up a little. I was ministering. We do that. I was ministering and they brought a little old lady in the wheelchair. Oh, bless her heart. I forget how many years she'd been in there, way too long. Old, frail, little bitty legs, little bitty arms, and she's just withered up like this. And they bring her in there. There she is right here in the wheelchair. Here I am. The anointing of God is whirling around. And I said, Lord, what will you do with this woman? And guess what he said to me? What do you want me to do with her? That's what he said. Wow. I said, what will you do with this woman? What do you want me to do with her? What do you want to happen? I don't know where I came up with this. But I said, I want her to jump up out of that wheelchair and kick her leg as high as the rocket dancers in New York. That's what I said. Guess what happened? I said it. This woman jumps up out of the wheelchair, kicks her leg up higher than my shoulder, and starts dancing across the platform. I said, what was that? And then he showed me the story about blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus laying by the wayside. The Christians were all around Jesus trying to get a fresh touch. Bartimaeus goes, hey, Jesus! And what did the disciples say that was trying to get a fresh touch? Shut up! This is not for you! Wow. That's a callous crowd around the Christ, isn't it? It says, and Jesus stopped still. Aren't you glad Bartimaeus picked up the volume? Jesus! Remember? Jesus, the son of David. And Jesus stops, turns to the callous crowd and says, go get him. They go get Bartimaeus and says he throws away his blind garment and here he comes. I mean, blind as he can be. He comes up to Jesus. Can't you see him? He's been on the roadside. There's camel dust all over him. Old matted pus running from his eyes. Blind! There he is, standing in front of Jesus. And Jesus says, what is it you want me to do for you? Had Jesus lost the word of knowledge? No. He wanted him to declare what he wanted. And look what Bartimaeus says. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus says, go that way. That faith has made thee whole. And he went back totally well. Wow. And followed Jesus in the way. Pretty amazing. Now the question is, what do you want out of this retreat? What are you going to declare? There's a verse in the Bible. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. I'll tell it to you and see if you believe it. Okay, you ready? There's a verse in the Bible that says, make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is and he'll get it for you. What? Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is and he'll get it for you. That's in the Bible. You say it can't be in the Bible. Oh, yes, it is. You want to see it in the Bible? I'll show it to you in the Bible. Don't believe me, but anyway. Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is, and he'll get it for you. In the Bible. Jesus says it in the New Testament. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, they're yours. That's what Jesus said. Mark, what? 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, they're yours. But here's this verse. I'll have to show it to you. They don't believe it's in there. It is a kind of fascinating verse, to be quite honest with you. Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is and he will get it for you. I'm turning in the Bible and I'm stopping at Job. You ready? Job 22:28. Look what it says. And you shall also decide. Decide means make up your mind. Is that correct? And you shall decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your pathway. Make up your mind, decide, tell God what you want, and he'll get it for you. Make up your mind, tell God what that is, and he'll get it for you. The word establish is the same word for create, bring it into existence. You look at it. You can see it right there. That's it marked in yellow. You shall also. Isn't that something? We've got to understand God longs to answer prayer. Here's a great verse about it. You ready? Yes, Bobby. 1 John 5:14. You ready? And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask Him anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. If we know He hears us, we're totally confident we're getting what we're asking. Prayer isn't a shot in the dark. It's not like winning the lottery. We have not because we ask not. This is 1 John 5:14. This is a confidence. Don't you like the word confidence? Here's a great verse about confidence. You ready? Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing. He that started something good is going to finish it for you. I studied in the Bible. Jesus is author and finisher, not author. And oops. You ever started a project and go, oh, Jesus ain't that away. He finishes what He starts. Well, talking about finishing, I better do that. I want to pray for people to activate your ability to hear God. Here's your verse about it. You want it? I told you have blessed ears. John 10:3 says, my sheep hear my voice. John 10:27 says, they flee other voices. They'll draw to my voice. So I release for you the ability to hear the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice. I gave you the verse a while ago. Blessed are your eyes, they say. Blessed are your ears, they hear. Say it. I have blessed eyes. I have blessed ears. Now, I used to think if God had something really important to say to me, He'd get me by the shoulders and go, Bobby! It is right the opposite. He said it's a sign of your immaturity if I have to shout at you. He said, you should be so close to me I can guide you with my eye. That's a verse in the Bible. Have you ever seen a parent guide their children with their eye? I have. Little Junior reaches for something and mom goes, Junior goes, whoa. Ew. What is that a sign of? Prior instruction. Junior and mama had a talk. So we need to be so close to God He can guide us with His eye. And let me tell you something. You and I need to learn the value of the token so we can get the treasure. God will always start something big with something little. He'll give you a token to see if you'll pursue the treasure. Example, Moses saw a bush burning. Wow. But the one being consumed, token, he turns aside and gets a treasure, led the people of Israel out. John the Revelator heard a voice, token, turned, got the book of Revelation. He'll start with the token, the little things. Remember what the Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. If you can't, you need to be aware and alert of the little things. If we'll embrace the token, then we can embrace the treasure. He'll start with a little thing. Wow. Don't you want that? Some of my biggest experiences happen with just a wisp. A wisp. Yeah. I'm laying in my bed in Moravian Falls 3 a.m. one morning just like this. Wide awake. My head on the pillow. My hands behind my head. 3 a.m. in the morning. And have you ever seen a car drive by and it flips the light, the lights flash across the ceiling? That's what caught my attention. I saw a flash of light across the ceiling. I thought, who in the world would drive up here at 3 a.m.? Then I thought, no one. So I said, Lord, if this is you, I want you to speak to me. When I said that, all the way at the corner of the room, there starts the sound of a heartbeat. Kaboom. Can you hear that? And it started with a little bitty blue light coming. And each time the heart would beat, it'd get longer, 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 went all the way to that end. About 8 inches over this way, another one. Another 8 inches. Pretty soon the whole roof of my bedroom is filled with blue bars of liquid light going all the way across. And then the heartbeat gets louder. Where it's a vibration. And these round tubes begin to elongate like this. And they just kept on with each heartbeat until they all touch one another. And the whole ceiling goes away. Whoosh, whoosh, just like that. And I was caught up into heaven. See, if I'd have go, well, I guess that was a car, I'd have missed the whole thing. Wow. I'm telling you. You say, well, what do you mean when you was called up? I mean, I was called up. When I say to you I had an encounter and a visitation from Jesus, I'm talking about just as real as you are here, only realer. That's how it is. When I say to you, Jesus came to my house and knocked on my door, I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knocked on my door. I'm sitting there shaking like you can't imagine. So I said, come in. And he said, no, you must come out outside the camp. So I get up off a couch and I walk out. I walk up to the door and I open the door. There stands Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with a bottle in his hand, looked just like a champagne bottle. He said to me, non-negotiable, we're going to have a christening service, but you don't know anything about christening. That's what he said. Walked right by me with a bottle in his hand. A man had just built a cabin, that's the night I'm dedicating the cabin. All right. Jesus walked right by me. There's a fire crackling in the fireplace. There's a little hallway there that leads to the bedroom. He didn't stop in the fireplace room, walked down the hall, turned in the bedroom. I'm following him. He gets in the bedroom, and in a flash, he picks a bottle up and goes, wham! And he hits the wall with a bottle, and it shatters in just a bunch of pieces. And an oil is running down the wall just like that. Now remember, a man just spent several thousands of dollars building that cabin for me to stay in. The first night, Jesus has walked in and burst a bottle full of oily liquid on the wall. I'm standing here and I'm thinking to myself, how am I going to explain to this man that built the cabin the first night I've stayed in, his wall's damaged? The moment I thought it, Jesus wheeled around and rebuked me. Here's what he says. You never have to apologize or attempt to explain what I do. Look. And I looked at the wall. The oil that had run down the wall turned into a map of the world, like a war map. And Jesus Christ would take his finger and touch a place and it would light up like this. He said, you can only target what I target or you'll become a target. Spent hours teaching me the strategy he's got for end times. My skin changed for days. Every hair on my body stood out like I'd been electrocuted. My wife is in Texas crying out, oh God, give Bobby a visitation. I'm in Moravian Falls going, oh God, don't kill Bobby. That's true. Tens of thousands of people have come by that cabin. It's pretty amazing. Bill Johnson came there, finished his first book. There's the Moravians, it's a portal. Wow. He said, well, I don't believe in that. Well, you won't see it. See, skepticism, I wrote this down on a piece of paper up there in the room a while ago. Skepticism has so visited the church says, I ain't believing it till I see it. Totally opposite of what Jesus Christ said. John 11:40, Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see? The world says, don't believe it till you see it. Jesus said, believe it in order to see it. John 11:40. Yeah, well, you know, I'm always inquisitive. No, most of the time, you just are too skeptical to believe what the Bible says. God despises that kind of skepticism. If it's genuine, he'll deal with it. You remember Thomas? Jesus has appeared. He goes, And then Jesus reappears, an encore for Thomas. And what does Thomas do? He said, now, reach here, now don't faint. And he saw the wound, remember that? What does Thomas do? Fell at his feet and goes, my Lord, my God. See, God don't mind sincere skepticism. But cynical, sour, religious skepticism, God won't deal with that much. I read the Bible. RT, I found out something. You want to hear it? God don't like religion. Man does. I was reading the book of Isaiah. Here's what the writer in the book of Isaiah says, God speaking. Away with your new moons and your Sabbaths, your holy convocations. They weary me. I abhor your feast and your festivals. Does that sound like God's really turned on with religion? No, God created those festivals and those rituals to point to the relationship. But when we chunk the relationship and hang on to the ritual, it's religion. And God despises it. away with your new moons and your Sabbaths, your holy convocations. They weary me. I abhor the sizzling of your fat, the burning of your sacrifice. Wow. That's God talking to the church, to people trying to worship Him. Wow. If we're going to worship Him, we have to worship Him how? Spirit and in truth. Isn't that good? How do you know you really worship? Now, listen, a few years ago, and I'm not against, they got into the soaking. Now, I'm all for soaking, but my God, how saturated are you going to get? Get up and get out and deplete yourself and come back and soak. You understand that? The labors are few. The harvest is big. We can't just sit and soak. Wow. I'm all for soaking. But I'm for serving. Why are we going to get something if we're not going to use it? God won't do that. Well, anyway, I've just yakked about a bunch of stuff. But let's pray for people. You want to be prayed for? Good. Good. I like this guy. I'm going to hit you in the chest. Here. That's good for you. You say, what will it do? It'll break away everything that's encircling him that's not of God. If I ever walk up to you and I start doing this, it'll break off every yoke that's not God's yoke. If I ever run my hand behind you like this, it'll break off every ancestral curse on your life. If I ever wave my hand in front of you like this, it stops every voice that's speaking but His voice. That's what we do. Isn't that something? You say, well, do you think I need any of that? I'm sure you do. But here's one thing I want to do. I carry an anointing with me everywhere I go. I can break sleep disorder off of any human being. If you're in this room, you got any type of sleep disorder, if you'll stand to your feet, I'll pray for you and God will heal you. I got testimonies. One guy said, I didn't sleep for 40 years without medication. You got sleep disorder? Anybody with a sleep disorder, stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you and God will heal you. All right? You shouldn't have to take a pill to go to bed, pill to get up. Here's what the Bible says. God will lay His servants down and their sleep will be sweet. The angels of God will encamp around about you. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over any sleep disorder, any sleep malady, whatever it might be, insomnia, whatever it is, night sweats, night terrors, I bind its power in the name of Jesus. I set in what you said. You will lay your servants down and their sleep will be sweet. You said we'd rise ready to face a new day. We'd be invigorated and stimulated and stirred up and excited about this being the day the Lord has made. So Lord, I release on these standing wonderful healing for sleep disorder. They'll sleep correctly and they won't need medication in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Good. Good. I don't know if you know about it, but our government found out that sleep deprivation is a type of torture. That's what they figured out. Sleep deprivation is a type of torture. And so the devil knows that. So if he can aggravate your sleep, you can get in a weary situation and make bad choices. Remember, the prophet ran a long way, got under a cave and said, Lord, let me die. Man, if he'd stayed back with Jezebel, she'd attended to that. Remember that? He didn't want to die. He was just discouraged and despondent. Okay, so that's, I prayed with you last year about people needing babies. If you want a baby, we can break up barrenness off of anybody. That's neat. We've got some testimonies of a woman having a baby out of a womb that didn't even exist. What? She had a total hysterectomy. They bring her on the platform where I'm at, and I said, oh, I see you're going to have a baby. Her husband said, no. I said, yes. He said, no. Yes. Then he says in a loud voice, that's impossible. She's had a total hysterectomy. I said, I don't care what she's had. She's going to have a baby out of her own body. Luke 1:37 says, with men things are impossible, but with God, nothing. That's concerning women, that is impossible for them to have babies. But see, it says, with men it's impossible, but with God. The woman had a baby. Isn't that cool? Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard? So anybody here barren and you want a child? Now don't stand up if you don't want one. It's not, whoops. I tell you what, we've got a string of these little babies that have been born like that. Here's one. There's a man and his wife standing in front of me, and I'm standing right here. And I said like this, here's what I said to him. Oh, I see that you're going to conceive. And I turned around like this, and then I turned back and said, oh, I see you're going to conceive and bear a child. Just like that, she got pregnant. Somewhere along the pregnancy, she loses a baby. All right. The gainsayers are always gainsayers in church. The gainsayer says, Bobby was wrong. See? And then they got the video and played the video. What did the video show? I said, oh, I see you're going to conceive. Turned back around. Then I said, oh, I see you're going to conceive and bear a child. She conceived, lost a child. Then she conceived and had a child. Exactly what I said in the prophecy. You see that? I do. Yeah. I do, you know. So you'd be surprised how many people's in this retreat thinking, well, I don't know if I believe all that. Well, don't worry about it. If you don't believe any of it, you won't get none of it. You've got to believe. He that comes must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. If you talk to somebody you can't see, they lock people up for that. See, you've got to believe when you're talking to God, He's going to answer you. You talk to somebody you can't see, I mean, they put people in jackets for that, don't they? Not these nice Hong Kong jackets. Straight jackets. Yeah. That's good. Anybody want a baby? And there was not a sound in the house. Here's a couple. So you want a baby? How many do you want? One? You want one? Thank you. All right. Here's what we're going to do. I take authority over barrenness. I rebuke barrenness in the name of Jesus. I speak to your body. Be fertile. Bear children out of your own loin and your own womb. In the name of the Lord Jesus, give them the desires of their heart, and we will give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Mark it down. It's pretty amazing. RT, I was doing a conference, and I'm sitting here, and my wife is sitting there, and a young man came in, and he's sitting there, and his wife is sitting by my wife, and I just looked over at him like that. They're already singing, "Our God," and so anyway, I looked over, and then I looked back at him, and I said, "Oh, I see you're going to have a baby." He goes, "No." I said, "Yes." He said, "No." I said, "Yes." He gets up and he comes and squats down by me. He said, "Bobby, no, we've been trying for 13 years. I said, "Quit trying. There's one in the oven." And you ought to see the pictures. They took a picture of when she's that long. Now she's already about this tall. But God gave them a baby. See, it'll happen. It's amazing. Now, if you need a good name, Bobby. Or Robert, you know, illustrious. Yeah. Really, don't expect not to get an answer. I'm expecting you to get children. Oh, man. Can I give you one more child story? Here's this guy. He used to have these race trucks. You've seen them big old monster trucks. He had those, and he didn't have children, he and his wife. They come to our meeting, and they said, "Bobby, we want children." I said, "Listen, okay, we'll pray for you." And I'm praying, "Oh, Lord, give them children out of their own body." Da, 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 you know. And so, prayer's over. They go back home. Didn't get pregnant first month. Didn't get pregnant the second month. So they had this little meeting. And they said, "What Brother Bobby must have meant is this, that we should adopt." So they go to the adoption agency, a wonderful couple. They go to the adoption agency and filled out the papers to get a beautiful little boy. And it just so happened that they called him from the adoption agency and said, the little sister of this little boy is available. Do you want her? And they said, sure. Yes. So they get to adopt two children. They go sign all the papers, pay the adoption fees, and they're coming home with the two new babies in the back seat in these little car seats. And the wife goes, honey, pull over. Pulled over and she threw up. Why did she throw up? Oh, she's pregnant. On the way back from the adoption, I didn't say they would adopt. I said, you'll have babies out of your own body. So they got the two at the adoption thing. She had three in all. Not three at a time. Three. One, two, three. Three and two is what? Five. So guess what happened? He called me. He said, why didn't you tell me? They're so expensive. He was selling his big old monster trucks, selling his gun collections. Isn't that crazy? Now, let me ask you this. Has there been any global mix-ups in pregnancies like that? Sarah and Abraham. Remember that? You're going to have a baby. She goes, yeah. And remember that? Even lied about laughing. And then what happened? God waited, waited, waited. And they got a little meeting together. What God must have meant. Well, you're supposed to take Hagar. She's young and fertile. And I'm too old. My body's past dead. That's, you know, that's what it says about her. But anyway, take Hagar. Was there any problem with that pregnancy? Abraham goes in, has a baby boy from Hagar. What was his name? Ishmael! Are we having any problem with that? You always have problems when you do your way, not God's way. We're suffering out of that little plot right there, right now, aren't we? Bible said that he'll be a wild ass, no one can tame him. Well, that's where the jihadis come from, if you're needing to understand. And let me tell you, they're trying to move into Asia quick. So what we got to do is we got to tell the truth about the truth. Yeah. I got to talking like this one time about Jesus being the only way to heaven, and one guy stood up and said, you mean to tell me you think all of these other religions are going to hell? I said, listen, I don't think it, I know it. I'm absolutely sure. So you know what one preacher said? No, Bobby, we're all striving to go to the same place. I'm not going where Hindus going. I'm not going where Muslims going. You understand that? Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given among men, whereby Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man. If we waffle on that, we might as well throw in the cards, hadn't we? He's the only way, isn't he? Now, Oprah and some of these left-wingers, they go, well, now, listen. It does matter what you believe. We're not all striving to go to the same place. Now, God can save Muslims. I know a bunch of them's been saved. God can save Hindus. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, right. Well, I told you I was going to pray. How do we want to pray for the anointing? You've got any idea?
Okay, seven come up.
I will be fine with me.
Yep.
Tell them. Yep. Grab a microphone.
So we were talking this afternoon a bit, and we thought it'd be great, and especially the last this morning, he talked about the prophetic, and you know, the best way to have that stir up in us is have a prophet to lay hands and pray for us. And so, you know, I thought it'd be the best way that we go about it. So we invite the worship team to come up, and let's just continue to create an atmosphere. And Bobby's going to be here in the front, and we're just going to pray. And if you, we're not now, I don't think we're talking about hearing God's voice, because I think we all hear God's voice, okay? But I'm talking about a deeper impartation in our life to really operate in the prophetic. In other words, the idea that you'll be praying for people, God will give you words for people, and so I'm not just talking about hearing God's voice. So you guys understand what I'm saying? That happens to all of us, and we all have access to that, but some that you want God to do something a little deeper in your life in that regard, to really have you step into, not that you're going to be a prophet or anything like that, but into some kind of prophetic ministry in that regard. And so, and which could probably include all of us as well in that way. And so if that's where you're at, I just want you to come to the front and just as we pray and maybe organize, like just maybe staff, can you organize it? Just create some lines. We can move some chairs back. And so give Bobby space. We'll go one line and then the next line. And he's a big guy, right? So give him some space to come in between and just to lay hands. And another line behind, right? Give some space. Yeah, that's right. Whatever you want to do, Bobby. Whatever you want to do. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
This one.
And so can someone of you guys actually follow Bobby in case some people fall down or something? And we'll just pray. Go ahead, lead us, Matt. We got a couple of big guys. Follow Bobby, please. I think you need like five of them.
Forever, I am yours. Together, forever.
Let's try to create a little bit more space, okay? We're too bottled in. Let's push back a little bit. If you're close, step up. Everyone push back. Let's try to create a little more space. After you've been prayed for, I encourage you to just spend some time with the Lord. Just keep receiving from the Father.
There is. Oh.
And we're just going to keep worshiping the Lord. But I really believe we have an open heaven right now before God. And so that question Bobby asked during the service, what do you want? Just begin to talk to the Lord right now. For you guys, especially you guys that have been prayed for already, the others, just wait in anticipation. For the ones, just begin to just talk to Jesus right now. Just give Him the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Him right now. And let Him just talk to you in this place. And as Matt continues to lead us in worship, just stay in this place.
Oh.
Hey, the worship team wants to get prayed for as well, so can we get up, the backup people come up? Start taking over. Then you guys can go out.
For your name, stir it up in our hearts.
there anyone who hasn't received yet and would like to? I think Bobby's gone through the room. This is your chance right now. Bobby, can you explain really briefly what you were doing? Because I know you were doing some stuff. What did, like you were doing this, and you're, yeah. Can you explain what that was prophetically?
I will. In the Bible, it says in John 20:20-21, it says Jesus breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." So when I breathed on you, that's that verse. John 20:20-21, breathed upon them, received the Holy Ghost. And then when we do like this, it stops every voice that's speaking but His, where you can hear Him. The devil a lot of times will clutter up your hearing with all different kind of things. And God wants to stop that. And when I pet you on the chest like this, I'm just stimulating your spirit. You know, you can take a Coke and open it, and it's just, you can feel it fizz. But you do like this, you open it, what's going to happen? And that's what I'm doing. I'm stirring up your spirit so it'll be able to come up and out. Do you understand that? So it's good. And I'll tell you what, you think, well, what kind of anointing? You got the anointing you want, okay? Now, it's really true. You can lay hands on the sick, they'll get well. You can cast out devils. You can heal the sick. You really can. Anything Jesus did, you can do. That's what He says. Then He even said something better than that. He said, greater than these works will you do. Wow. Did you know that it's in the New Testament where somebody did something greater than what Jesus did? It does nowhere in the Bible say that when Jesus shadow passed by a sick person that got well, but it does Peter. Peter walked by and his shadow went across the sick person, the person gets up well. Wow, that's greater, isn't it? Pretty wild, but it's all through Jesus. I'm tell them they won't get over what happened.
You won't get over what happened.
I'm telling you, it'll grow. It'll grow in you. The anointing you get, it's like a seed. You water it. You fertilize it. You feed it with the Word. You feed it with the river of the Spirit. It'll grow. Don't ever stop growing. Now, I mean that. Don't ever get to the point where you go, well, I got all I want. I have never met a human being on earth that was honest that said, I've got all of God I want. To be quite honest, the more you get, the more you realize how little you have. I've been doing this 49 years. And the more I know about God, the more I realize I barely know Him. I barely know Him. But I promise you this, He's going to introduce Himself to us in a way we've never imagined. He's going to reintroduce Himself to the church. Remember John the Revelator? It said He laid on the chest of Jesus and heard His heartbeat. And then He gets reintroduced on the Isle of Patmos, Revelation 1. What does He do? Hey, dude! No. He falls at His feet as though He were dead. He got reintroduced to Jesus in a new dimension. And that's going to happen to us. Keep it up. I mean, keep up the conferences, honestly. It's a lot of work. It costs a lot of money. But God says to tell you, make plans as if money was no problem. I'm telling you prophetically.
Always.
Make plans as if money was no problem. That's not going to stand in the way at all. We got a God named El Shaddai, the God that does for you what you can't do for yourself. One translation says, the God that's more than you'll ever have need of. You said briefly.
That was good. Anyone? I know there's a few people who hadn't got prayed for yet. Right there. One. Anyone else? It's your shot. All right. Says the best for last. We're going to just continue to worship. You know, this is what we do well as a church. As the Lord's leading you, let's pray for one another. Let's just go before. Let's just lay hands and just ask God's blessing to continue to stir over one another. Bobby's going to be at the book table. So if you want to buy a book, or he can sign one for you, so you can do that as well. But let's just really just start ministering to each other now as Chris continues to lead us.